Hello, Postcast listeners.
Hi, Tia.
Hi, Ray.
We're back.
We're finally back.
Yeah, that was a long break. Boy, that was nice. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I got splashed by all kinds of buckets of water.
Did that happen?
Did you do the whipping?
No, you know, I...
Did you get whipped?
I tried to, but, you know...
Was there any whipped cream?
Things being what they are in my household, the whipping was done to me, not by me. So let's just move on.
Well, we're back with full speed, and we have a pretty good show coming up, right?
I think so. We're going to do, as usual, the news and what's happened, and there's been a lot since we've been gone. But I understand that you are going to try the impossible, and how is this a thing? You are taking on a task that far, far greater folks have tried and failed miserably at.
We're not really going to try to invent a youth potion.
Well,
but something similar or something in that vein.
Yeah, but you're going to try to improve my looks.
Well, I mean, you are a very handsome man, Ray.
Well, yeah.
But since, I mean,
from a distance,
spring is here.
I'm like a Monet.
Spring is here. Everybody's trying to sort of do the spring cleaning, get in shape, going back to the gym, looking into the cabin and seeing what they could use to improve their looks as well. I mean, there's so many do-it-yourself home remedies. And I thought, why not try the three most common ones out on you, Ray?
Do you like at night, you lie in bed and you think, how am I going to torture this poor man this week?
That's exactly what I do.
Pretty much sounds
then
like,
I put
my
little hands together and I'm like, yes, the plan will work.
Yes. Okay, I can just see your diabolical superhero villain voice going on. And anyway, all right, I'm up for it. You know, I'm up for it. It sounds like fun.
Shall we start with the news?
Always. Let's do the news.
Well, Ray, never have we been so right and so wrong.
Never is a very, very, very heavily weighted word to you. What's up?
Because in our last podcast, 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
We warned you all, dear Postcast listeners, about the perils of putting your gloves and winter coats in storage too early.
Ah, yes. And we warned you about harping on the joys of spring in a newspaper article, old scribes over at the Post, because it will be snowing when the issue hits the streets. And
what did you do when you saw all the other maniacs stripping off and running outside? You went to the beach, right, to eat ice cream.
It was only 16 degrees. Now, we have to explain. That was my very bad attempt at Michael Caine.
Yeah, I'll give you 5 points for that impersonation.
Oh, jeez.
But just listen to this.
Well, broadsheet journalists have described my impressions as stunningly accurate.
Well, they're wrong. I've not heard your Michael Caine, but I assume it would be something along the lines of, my name's Michael Caine.
That is where you are so wrong. And you can look at my live video for proof, because that's the very thing I don't do.
Do you Michael Caine?
Okay. I say, Michael Caine used to talk like this in the 1960s, right? But that has changed. And I say that over the years, Michael's voice has come down several octaves. Let me finish. And all of the cigars and the brandy, don't let me finish, can now be heard.
Okay.
I've not finished in the back of the voice, and the voice now. Well, I've still not finished the voice.
You're panicking.
You look like you're about to bloody talk. Let me finish. Right, so Michael Caine's voice now in the Batman movies and in Harry Brown. I can't go fast because Michael Caine talks very, very slowly.
Right, this is how Michael Caine speaks. Michael Caine speaks to his nose like that. He gets very, very specific. It's very like that. When he gets loudly, it gets very loud indeed. It gets very specific. It's not quite nasal enough the way you're doing it, all right? You're not doing it the way he speaks. You're not doing it with the kind of... And you don't do the broken voice when he gets very emotional. When he gets very emotional indeed. She was only 16 years old. She was only 16. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. That's Michael Caine.
On Tuesday, April 18th, the Danish winter came calling again. Snow streaked across the skies, and frost killed all those lovely seedlings that you'd planted on your balcony.
Granted, the snow didn't last long, but it led to a bitterly cold night as temperatures plummeted to -2 degrees in the north of the country and as low as -4 in the south. How did this happen?
Why, it's meteorological. A movement of cloud of cold air from the Arctic was to blame. It enveloped all of Northern Europe, so Denmark was not the only country suffering.
We also warn you that you'd know that summer had arrived as you'd have a violent reaction to birch pollen.
Mm-hmm.
And with this prediction, we were wrong. As the birch pollen season started just before Easter.
Yeah, that's when it usually starts, but the cold temperatures have pretty much kept the counts pretty low so far, thank goodness, because that's just as well. Southern Scandinavia is one of the worst areas in the entire world for birch pollen allergy sufferers, of which I am indeed one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, poor you. In fact, many new arrivals to the region have no idea that they're among the 25% who are prone to getting red eyes, sneezing fits, runny noses, fatigue, and sometimes it's actually years before they join the dots and realize they need medication.
It's actually very true. When I first got here some years, 25 years ago or so, I could not figure out why I was always getting sick this particular time of the year. It took some time because for most pollen types, 50 particles per cubic meter is considered very high. In Denmark, it is not abnormal for those counts to reach 2,000 or 3,000 per cubic meter.
Wow. A count of 83 on Monday in the capital region was the highest this year, but a long way short of what we would normally expect a week into the season.
And of course, this stuttering, stumbling weather, cold, warm, blizzard, heat wave, weird, just, it's a bad combination, because what it does is it leads to a prolonged birch pollen season.
And now follows a statement from the newspaper, which I have been asked by our editor and fearless leader, Ben Hamilton, to read with his apologies that he is too cowardly to ever really concede that he has well and truly arsed up.
You know, I'm just going to read the statement.
Yes, please, Ray, you start.
Dear readers, the most unspeakably bad luck has befallen our esteemed publications, and we sincerely beseech Her Majesty for her forgiveness for an erroneous assumption that is, quite frankly, unforgivable. In our last issue, we had the temerity, nay, the sheer impertinence, to assume, presumptuous knaves that we are, that Her Majesty would regale her many subjects with an appearance on her balcony at a Magian Ball on the occasion of her 77th birthday.
In short, she wasn't there.
She was
not there. It turns out that she was in Aarhus instead, and even Prince Henrik found the time to swing by.
That's... never mind. It's there. The joke is there.
We, of course, as in all such matters, blame an unspecified intern who was subsequently...
disciplined. Very disciplined.
Harshly.
Normally, you know, you look forward to Easter. It's 5 days off, maybe more, time with your loved ones, roast lamb, lots of chocolate, a bucket full of schnapps. It's a great holiday.
A bucket full of schnapps. Yeah, that's what I had. Well, and this is true, but until, that is, it clashes with maybe one of your loved one's birthdays.
Yeah.
Now you're having to get up at the crack of dawn to buy pastries, after which you're on tenterhooks all day.
And by lunchtime, your loved ones have been joined by your not-so-loved ones, your like-in-small-doses ones, and you're tempted to emigrate to permanently avoid ones.
Besides, the chocolate makes way for sickly layer cake and the lamb for white, tasteless rolls that somehow manage to fill you up all day.
And the only schnapps you are reminders that you're ruining someone's birthday, pretty much.
So you can imagine the Queen's dilemma as she traditionally celebrates the holiday at Marselisborg Castle in Aarhus, but her birthday at Amalienborg.
All right, so maybe it's a bit of a privilege world problem. Instead of a balcony, she had to make do with a veranda, and instead of cheering Copenhageners, jeering Jutlanders.
Yes, the poor.
Poor.
And it just so happens that they're increasing in number.
Really?
Yeah, because according to new figures released by the Economic Council for Labor Movement, Arbejderbevægelsens Erhvervsråd, the number of people living in poverty in Denmark has more than doubled over the past decade or so.
And my joy that I did not have to say that above Danish phrase, it has also more than doubled. Over 44,000 were living in poverty in 2015. That is up from 18,650 in 2002.
But let's make something clear, though. I mean, the Danish definition of poverty differs somewhat from the one in India, for example. Because to qualify, you have to have earned less than 50% of the median income level for 3 consecutive years, not to be a student, and have savings, and that's apparently not assets, of less than, hold on to something, 100,000 kroner. I mean, in India, for that amount, they'd probably crown you the village king or something.
Less than 100 grand in the bank? Those poor bastards. I feel so bad for them. Experts blame the increase on the reduction in benefits over the last decade.
Did you know that this official definition of poverty, which Arbejderbevægelsen Erhvervsrådet cited, was actually repealed in 2015 by the Venstre government, who pretty much said they were sick and tired of it?
Yes, and they replaced it with this one.
There are 150 of us living in a shoebox in the middle of motorway.
Cardboard box?
Aye.
You were lucky. We lived for 3 months in a rolled-up newspaper in a septic tank. We used to have to get up at 6 a.m, clean the newspaper, eat a crust of stale bread, go to work down the mill, 14 hours a day, week in, week out, for 6 months a month. And when we got home, our dad would thrash us to sleep with his belt.
Of course, a shoebox isn't that much bigger than a Danish summer house. It turns out that an increasing number of Danish pensioners are living in them all year round, according to figures from Denmark's Statistik and Nordea.
Yep, some 21,444 are permanently inhabited, up from 15,000 10 years ago. And did you know that you have to have owned your summer home for at least 8 years before you can move in permanently? But that proposed changes to the Planning Act could reduce this to just 1 year in the future.
That's pretty interesting. You know, we used to have a summer house, and it was always amazing to me that we couldn't just live there. There were rules about when you could. It was weird. So I guess when we freelancers scraping by above the poverty line, unable to buy a cocktail without having, you know, a cardiac arrest and going, it cost what? We're going to move to those nice little allotment places there in Gladsaxe. You know, you think we should do that?
24 to a room? Here we come.
But look on the bright side. Living and sleeping in close proximity to one another is apparently good for babies, according to a meta-analysis of 28 previous studies.
Yep. British newspaper The Guardian didn't really agree, though. Instead, they said that Danish parents are just lucky. Because they experienced the lowest rate of colic out of all the countries surveyed.
Colic, which is when a baby cries for at least 3 hours a day, was found in among just 5.5% of the infants aged 3 to 4 weeks in Denmark, compared to about 28% of British infants aged 1 to 2 weeks.
Experts explained to the head-scratching Guardian journalists that Danes simply spend more time with their children. Yes, like at Easter or family parties or huddled together around your last candle while it's snowing outside in late April.
Yeah. They also attributed the difference to the lengthy maternity leave, more babies sleeping outdoors, a high rate of breastfeeding in Denmark, and good old patience and acceptance, and not bungling the baby off to the maternity ward as soon as it's been born so the parents can grab a little sleep.
Still, I think we'll give The Guardian the last word.
You lucky bastard. Who's that? You lucky, lucky bastard. What?
And finally, this week, Tia, there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. You know, spring is springing, summer is coming, so things are picking up out there. Here's a quick overview of what's coming up over the next 7 days.
Yeah, there's a lot coming up. We've got March for Science. The organizers of the Copenhagen event on April the 22nd have confirmed the march will begin at 1 p.m. outside the Niels Bohr Institute. no further directions are given. If you can't find it yourself, you're obviously not brainy enough to take part. This is a march for science, not a march for morons.
See, I can't go because I still can't figure out why the March for Science is happening in April.
Because of
Earth Day? You're not even going to go with the March in April joke.
Look at it like that.
Two festivals to look up. J-PopCon happening April 21st to the 23rd at DGIBUN or DGIBUN, a celebration of Japanese pop culture. Think about anime, cosplay,
Hentai.
Pokemon, Hello Kitty, and all that other stuff. It's now in its 15th year, and believe it or not, it's stunning to me. 3,000 enthusiasts are expected to show up.
Yeah, wow. Also, Copenhagen Architecture Festival from April 27th to May 7th. You can expect a lot of films, performances, seminars, and exhibitions.
And two plays to look up. The Why Not Theater is presenting Mr. Tesla Play, the story of inventor Nikola Tesla, who many now regard as the true father of the electric age. Its run continues until April 26th. Find out more at whynottheater.dk.
Nikola Tesla, he was Serbian, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Also, the Malmö Group Playmate presents Talking Heads.
Oh, I like that magazine. No, that's probably... No, sorry.
No. Right. Three monologues penned by British playwright Ellen Bennett, and it's aptly performed over three nights, April 27 to 29, at the House of International Theatre at Husel.
And finally, Oko Day on April 23rd, starting from 10 a.m., farmers all over the country will release their cattle from the stables for the first time this year, which is a relief for the cows, as stables do not smell. They don't have pung after a long Danish winter. How is it that cows have a grasp of when winter ends, but humans here in Denmark, we apparently do not?
I think they feel it in their bovine titties.
I don't know if we can say that on the podcast, but we'll see how it goes. And don't forget that all of this news can be found in the actual Copenhagen Post newspaper, our benevolent sponsors. It's actually a newspaper. You can actually read it, pick it up, train puppies on it. If you have a bird, it's good for that. Wrap fish. And also they have a website, which is...
cphpost.dk.
That's what it is, yeah. Coming up next...
is our do-it-yourself home remedy How Is This a Thing segment.
In which Tia is going to slather various things on my face.
So you better stay tuned.
You don't want to miss it. Well, we're back, and I'm scared.
Welcome back, podcast listeners. And we're sitting here still with Ray. We have arrived at our How Is This a Thing?
How is this a thing? Yeah, Ray's wondering how this is a thing. That's for damn sure.
So what's happening is, in case you didn't hear the first part of our show, is that...
Which
you should have. But spring is here. Everybody's cleaning up the house, going back to the gym, trying to shed those extra pounds, or maybe even... look into doing a home remedy. There's
okay.
So many things that you can try at home. You don't even have to buy something really strange like hemp seed oil or something weird. Lentils with mustard. No.
I love lentils.
Lentils are good.
I eat them.
But we have looked into three very easy, very common things, items that you can find in your own kitchen, in your own fridge, in your own home that apparently... gives you glowing skin, reduces wrinkles, is anti-aging. The list goes on. And who else but our favorite, my favorite co-host here, Mr. Ray Weaver. He is so happy to be our hamster lab rat for this session.
I could not be more excited. I think the thing is that if anything, if this can do anything with, 61 years worth of wrinkles, earned, by playing in bars and smoke and drinking whiskey and, if they could touch them, then this stuff really works. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, well, what do you have here, Tia?
What we're doing here is that we have picked three very, very common ingredients.
Yeah.
We have three little bowls here.
Mm-hmm.
We have olive oil in the first one.
Yeah, olive oil. Yeah, yes. We have that. Yeah.
We have coconut oil.
Coconut oil, one of my favorites. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have some
avocado.
Just some crushed, good old crushed avocado in the third one, basically.
My lunch. Yeah.
Well, your lunch and beauty treatment.
Okay.
So our idea is that we're going to apply. We're going to go step by step.
Notice how she keeps using the plural pronoun of our. I did not have this idea.
Come on. We're doing this for you, dear listeners, and for you, Ray. You're going to look 10 years younger after we're done with this.
Okay.
What we want to know is which of these three ingredients or three things on their own would actually make your skin smoother, your complexion glow more. We're just going to see which one actually works because apparently, Ray,
yeah,
get a hold of this.
Okay.
Apparently, coconut oil helps the skin get nourished, also helps in preventing and reversing wrinkle lines from the skin. So,
okay.
That's for coconut oil. Then for olive oil, apparently olive oil is very good in helping retaining the moisture in the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And avocados are very, very good as a treatment for wrinkles under the eyes.
There we go.
So it's all going to be like a facial.
All right. Thing. So it's a facial. I'm getting a facial. All right.
And I have a little
less
towel
I
here.
Say about that, the better.
I need to tuck the towel underneath
the towel.
Here.
Yeah, yeah. On my shirt. Yeah. The little towel. There we go. All right.
So which one do you think we should start?
I think we should end the segment now, but since you're determined to do it, you pick.
All right. Let's start with the coconut oil.
No, that's olive oil.
Let's start with the olive oil. Okay.
So what are you going to do to this now?
I'm going to apply a little bit of this under your eyes.
Okay.
Under one of your eye. And on the other side, under your left eye, I'm going to apply some of this.
Okay.
And under your right eye, I'm going to apply some coconut oil and see which one will make your skin smoother.
The craziest thing I've ever done, except for the last thing she made me do. Okay, here we go. She's putting coconut oil on, no, olive oil under my eye.
This is great.
I now smell like a shawarma bar.
You need to. We're going to leave it on for a minute or two, and then take it off.
I have to leave it on?
Yes, oh. We have to leave it on.
All of a sudden, I have an urge for a pizza. I don't know why. And now, what's this? This is the coconut oil going under my other eye. And let's remember that the it's under, not in. Oops, there goes my towel. And okay, that has no smell. I use the neutral coconut oil here, so that
you
has
already
no
look.
How many years younger do I look now?
At least a year and a half.
At least a year and a half younger? Yeah, we did. I'm shooting for 10 years younger and 10 years lighter. Is this going to do that? Or?
I think so.
Probably
okay,
not.
Let's...
All right, which one are we taking off now?
Let's take off the olive oil first.
Okay.
I'm patting it very gently.
She's very gentle.
She's
doing very gently. It's a lovely kind of thing, really. You know, I think I may want to do this segment every week now. This is actually not bad at all. And
I'm taking off the other side as well.
Okay. All right. How do I look? I mean,
I'm not joking about
okay.
this. The coconut oil
yeah.
actually did make this part look much smoother. It's not the lighting. I'm serious about this. Okay, I'm going to do the touching test now. And
okay.
then I think, Ray, you should touch your own face as
okay,
well.
Okay, I'll touch my own face. Okay. Actually, the coconut oil does feel smoother
right?
somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really does. You know, I'm not an inveterate face toucher, but
it's an absolute win for the coconut oil.
Coconut oil win. Now we're going with the avocado. Instead of eating my lunch, I'm going to smear it on my face.
And it's going to be, I'm going to put it on your forehead.
My forehead?
Yeah.
Oh, those wrinkles are deep enough to sell advertising space in. I mean, you could literally, you know, graze a horse in one of those valleys up there. I'm just, you know.
You look like Shrek.
Thanks. As someone said on the internet the other day, these are not worry lines. These are my WTF lines, and they're getting deeper all the time. So I look like I have, ladies and gentlemen, I have green avocado smeared on my forehead as we speak.
I love this show.
Yeah, I do too. It feels really bad. It feels exactly what you might think smearing avocado on your forehead would feel like.
I think we, if we're going to do a segment like this next time, we have to do a before or an after photo.
Yeah, we need a before and after photo, and we need to do...
But dear podcast listeners, you can expect a live stream from us.
Soon.
Very soon.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to see the results with your eyes.
We're going live on the interweb. And that means I'm going to have to wear a shirt the next time we do this.
Yes, Ray. Okay. And you're going to have to upgrade from that palm leaf that you use.
Yeah. It's a very small palm leaf, listeners. Don't worry about it. Anyway, can we get this off my head soon?
Because you look so good with
I'm feeling a little, you know, clammy.
We need like a little piece of cucumber on your eyes as well.
Yeah, I can just eat my face.
All right.
Okay, she's now scraping off the avocado, sort of the part that she's not scraping down into my eye, she's removing from my forehead. And it
works.
Get out of here. That's not going to smooth out my forehead.
I'm seriously telling you that it works.
All right. Well, then, you know, next time you come over and we're setting up for the podcast, expect me to be walking around with much vegetation on my face.
You're going to have your little towel on.
Exactly. Little towel cucumbers. On my head. Like, cucumbers on my eye, coconut oil under my eye, and
what's
avocado
happening, Ray?
On my face.
Well, you know, it's my daily treatment.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, moisturizing is a good thing, I guess. I'm not really, I don't do much.
Well, it's not, I'm not that surprised to be honest, because I mean, these are all very healthy, very good ingredients. I mean, avocados, olive oil, coconut oil, these are also fantastic to eat, to get in your system. Why shouldn't they be good to put on your skin, right?
Well, they just don't taste as good that way. But if they work, they work. And, you know, and maybe this is really a thing.
This is really a thing, especially the coconut oil, an absolute win.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, next time we do something like this, we will make sure that we have photographs.
And
but
now I can finally say, dear podcast listeners, go ahead and try this at home.
Try it at home. It's a thing. It's a thing. And we have no idea, because we really do kind of want to surprise our host with what we don't know what the next segment we will be when we see you next week. But we will be back next week with more news. And Tio, you always want to remind people of this electronic digital wizardry stuff that you're very fond of.
It is very, very important, because it puts our magic up as well. So if you like the show, don't forget to go into iTunes. Please leave a review, because it helps us so much in getting up in the ranks. And, you know, also coming up with better ideas of what to smear on Ray's face. I mean,
yeah, thanks for that. I am Ray Weaver.
And my name is Tia Hoka.
And I'm going to go wash my face. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.